That's what we're talking about this morning, is being filled with the Spirit from Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we're going to go with that. You know, I was thinking about what you said about the man and his wife. You know, do they even make a vehicle anymore that has a bench seat in it anymore? I got to thinking about that, and even my old pickup truck has two bucket seats. Well, now, I remember back in the day when I had a 76 Grand Prix. Me and Susie, she could slide right over. I think she did. I don't know. That's been a long time ago. I hope, you know, it was her now. Don't set me up, brother. It was definitely her. But anyway, let's pray before we get started. Father, help us now to focus on your word. Lord, help us just to shut out any outside distractions, Lord. We need to hear this morning, Lord, how to be filled fresh and anew with your Spirit. Fill us, Lord, for the task at hand of just living in this world and the things that we have to go through, dear God. We need your Spirit. We need to be full of your Spirit so that we can be vessels that you can use for your honor and glory. Help me, Lord, as I try to preach. Put your hand on me, I pray. Speak to each of us today, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. What does it mean when the Bible tells us that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's because living the Christian life is a demanding experience. The standards are high, and we need the power and the strength that the Spirit has for us. For example, some of the demands of Scripture tell us that we have to have love in our hearts. We're to bring every thought into captivity under the power of Christ. We're to pray without ceasing. And if we don't have something in us besides our own power to do these things that Scripture asks us to do, we're going to fail at that, aren't we? And besides our own inabilities, there's the enemy that fights against us called Satan. If we're not filled with the Spirit of God, then Satan will get the best of us. We will experience defeat repeatedly. You might say, well, I thought I already had the Holy Spirit. Well, if you're saved, you do, because the Bible says that unless you have the Spirit of God, then you're not saved, right? When we accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. That's true. That's called the indwelling Spirit. And then we're added to the body of Christ by the baptism of the Spirit. Yes, Baptists get baptized by the Spirit too. They do. That you're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And I might add and remind you that the indwelling and baptism of the Holy Spirit happens when you give your heart to Jesus. Now, while it's true that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us when we're saved, He doesn't always get control of us. Now, whose fault is that? That's our fault, isn't it? To be controlled by the Spirit means to be filled with the Spirit. We've got to understand that it's vitally important for us to be filled and controlled by the Spirit. When we speak of being filled with the Spirit, you could say that there are three kinds of people. You have people that don't know the Lord at all because they don't have the Spirit at all. You have people who are Christians. The Holy Spirit indwells them, but they've never really given control of their life to Him. Then you have Christians who are consciously and knowingly giving their lives to the Spirit's control and living every day with His power. That's the ones you were talking about a while ago, that glowing Christian, because they've learned how important that is. Now, all of us fit in one of those three categories, really. We either don't know Jesus and we don't have the Spirit, or we do know Jesus and we haven't given our control of our life to Him. In other words, we hadn't made Him Lord. And then there's the third category of people, like we all should strive and want to be at, is that we have given our control of our life to the Lord and we're living under His power every day. Did you know that for the Christian to be filled with the Spirit is a command of Scripture? We just read that, didn't we? Be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you'll allow me in a short English lesson, if we look at the phrase be filled with the Spirit in its original Greek meaning, it's in what is called the imperative sense. In other words, it's a command to be filled with the Spirit. It's not optional. It's not an optional thing. It's one of those things in the Bible that we must do, right? It's imperative. It's not something that you think over or mull over or something you attain when you reach a certain level of sainthood. It's a command. Every believer is to be filled with the Spirit of God. The phrase is also plural. You could say, you all be filled with the Spirit. Every Christian. In the South, we would say, y'all be filled with the Spirit, right? All of y'all. It's not for the preacher or the deacon or the Sunday school teacher or the spiritual giants of the church. It's for everybody, right? Now you're probably thinking, you know, that preacher is just getting Pentecostal this morning. He's going to tell us, he's preaching a Pentecostal myth. No, it's in your Bible. It's in, and if you want to say that's your Baptist Bible, you can say that too. It's the one you got in your hand. It's there. I just read it to you, right? And then notice the phrase, one more part of the English lesson. We call it the passive voice. We are to be filled. In other words, you can't fill yourself. You can't fill yourself with the Spirit. God must do that. Our place is to put ourselves in the position to be filled by and controlled by the Spirit. Then the phrase be filled with the Spirit, one more thing, is in the present tense. It means to keep being filled. Now that's the kicker, isn't it? You say, well, I got the Spirit when I was saved. But it says, it's in the tense that says, you keep being filled with the Spirit. Don't you have those peaks and valleys in your Christian life? The highs and the lows? When we're in the low and we're trying to figure out what to do, we need a fresh dose of the Spirit. As my Pentecostal pastor friends say, you need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost, right? You do. If you're down in the valley, you need to be heading back up the mountainside again, right? As we read the Word of God and confess our sin and become aware that there's something in our life that's not under His control, those are the times when we need to be filled with the Spirit. Now I want to call your attention to four conditions of being filled with the Spirit. Many Christians will attend church on Sunday and because that's the right thing to do, but they never move ahead with God. I've had myself been in that position many times, just come to church on Sunday because that's the thing to do. The thinking is, also if I seek to be filled with the Spirit and controlled by the Spirit, won't He ask me to do something that I'm not comfortable doing? Won't God make me do something that I'm not comfortable with? Or what about if I get filled with the Spirit, won't people start thinking that I'm a fanatic for Jesus? Oh, heaven forbid, right? That somebody would accuse me of being a fanatic for Jesus. What about if I get filled with the Spirit of God, He might ask me to turn loose of some things that I don't really want to turn loose of, right? So the thinking of most Christians is just to take their relationship with Christ at a mediocre level, close, but not too close, right? I don't know about you, but I've reached the point in my life where I want to be closer to Jesus. I'm never satisfied with my closeness to Jesus. I want to get closer and closer and closer to Jesus. Talking about those conditions. First, the first condition of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you've got to desire to be filled. Right? You got to want it. You got to be hungry for it. In John chapter 7 and verse 37, it says, on the last day of the feast, that great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come and drink." You know what he was talking about? Well, he was talking about in that setting to come to him for salvation, right? But he's also talking to me and you about coming to be filled with the Spirit. Come and drink. Are you thirsty? He says, come and drink, Jesus said. So we've got to have a desire to do it, but we've also, we need to, in order to be filled, we need to denounce sin in our life. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit and bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. We've got to say to God, God, is there any sin in my life that's displeasing to you? Point it out. You ever pray that way? God, if there's sin in my life that is displeasing to you, first off, we ought to have a desire to be pleasing to God, right? So, why would we not want to ask God, is there something in my life that I'm doing or not doing that's displeasing to you? Point it out. We can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if we're harboring sin in our lives. We got to come to the point where we want God's Spirit so much to control us that we're not going to let anything get in the way. We want it badly to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm telling you, if you haven't experienced that on a regular basis, you might think I'm speaking some foreign language to you today, but it's a special thing to be filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit. A third thing is we've got to dedicate ourselves to Christ. We got a desire to be filled. We got to denounce sin. We've got to dedicate ourselves fully to Christ. I've got to be willing to say, Lord, I want you to take control of my life. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 is the key. It says, present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, and don't be controlled by the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, or the renewal of your thinking, right? Don't be controlled by the world. In other words, change your mind about it. Renew your mind with the Word of God. To be filled with the Spirit, we must present ourselves as a sacrifice to God. In other words, Lord, you can have it all. No strings attached. God, it's all yours. I submit myself to you. Just throw it all out there. Is there anybody that can accomplish more in your life than God can? Can you do it? You think you got it all together? You think you can control it all yourself, or you got this, and you don't need quite so much help from God? Isn't that for the weak people? Isn't that for the people that don't have it together? I can handle it. You know, you can keep telling yourself that and keep telling yourself that, and your life is going to get so full of junk that it's going to start just being helter-skelter. And pretty soon your life is going to be running you, not you and the Spirit being in control of your life. That's what's going to happen. Do you see why? That you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to help you discern and line these things out in your life. Be filled with the Spirit. That's why the Scripture commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Why would you not want to give all of yourself to God? Every part I've tried to keep back and do myself, I've messed up. So why wouldn't I want to just give it all to God? Consider this. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it tells us not to quench the Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, it tells us not to grieve the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit happens when you don't do something that God tells you to do. Grieving the Spirit happens when you do something that God told you not to do. I've did that before, haven't you? Just go ahead and do something that I knew God didn't want me to do. And you know, at that point, I grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And I suppressed Him in my life. And I need to come back to Him and ask for forgiveness and be filled again, fresh and anew with the Spirit, so that I could go on. A fourth thing is to be filled with the Spirit means to depend daily on the Holy Spirit. To depend on the Spirit. Often we call that walking in the Spirit. And our text today started out with the phrase, be careful how you walk. Walking in the Spirit is trusting the Lord every moment. Trusting in the Lord, for you and I, should be like breathing, shouldn't it? It should be like breathing. You breathe and I breathe without even thinking about it, don't we? Unless we run out of air, which I do sometimes up here. But we do it without thinking. Why would we not depend on God without even thinking about it? We do it because we're filled with the Spirit. We do it because we're Christians. We do it because we belong to Him. We need to depend on the Spirit every moment. Now, we talked about what it means to be filled with the Spirit and how to be filled. Now, what are the results of being filled? By the way, if you don't catch all this, these notes will be on the internet tomorrow. FBCLex.com. That's my little commercial break right there. Now back to the movie, right? According to verses 19 and 20 of our text today, when we get filled with the Spirit, we're going to be different people. Different people. Now this is good. Verse 19 says, that we're going to start addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man. Song in our heart and praise on our lips. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, our love, our fellowship, our relationships will be different. Being filled means when we come together and we lift up our voices in here to praise God, we are truly worshiping God. You'll watch old Robert up here come unglued, man. He might even have a fit. Being filled with the Spirit also means that we're full of worship and joy. Is there anything wrong with that? When we're filled with the Spirit, we're thankful to God. People who are Spirit-filled, they don't go around griping and complaining all the time. I get so tired of that. I don't like to hang around people like that, do you? Griping and complaining. I'll gripe and all the time. I just kind of nod my head and move on. I don't want to get tied up with that. A Spirit-filled person is characterized by a spirit of gratitude. Show me someone who says they're a Christian, yet they're never happy and they're always complaining. I'm going to show you a Christian that's not Spirit-filled. I'm not talking about they lost their salvation or something happened. I'm telling you that they're not Spirit-filled. If they're not walking with the Lord, walking in the character of the Lord, and not thankful, then they're not really filled. Spirit-filled people have joy in their hearts. They worship God and are grateful. Now notice also verse 20 says a Spirit-filled person is submissive. It says submitting to one another out of the reverence for Christ. A Spirit-filled person is not someone that always wants to be out front or always trying to be first or trying to be the best. Not always trying to draw attention to themselves. The text goes on to explain that we didn't read what these relationships are. It starts talking about a husband and wife. Now, a lot of times, people will pluck those scriptures. Am I going out? Maybe it's just my voice. It's, you know, I moved my and something and nothing came out. I don't know. But what that scripture is talking about, submission of husband and wife, people pluck those scriptures out of there and they start getting upset. The wife says, I'm not going to submit to him. No way. Friend of mine down in Port Gibson, he'd always say, I go home and I tell my wife, submit, woman. I said, man, you're taking that out of context, and you're going to get in serious trouble if you do that again. Not from me, but from your wife. You want to switch me over to this thing? I've wore this other thing out. Maybe I've gone too long. No, I haven't. I'm almost done, though. But see, it goes on, a Spirit-filled wife, see, it talks about that those things in those next verses because of what's before. A Spirit-filled wife and a Spirit-filled husband, this is how they react with each other. Because you can't do this if you're not Spirit-filled. You can't be submissive to one another in a marriage, for instance, if you're not Spirit-filled. You're going to have trouble with that as a Christian if you're trying to make these verses about submission work if you're not first Spirit-filled and submitted yourself to the Lord. Is that making sense? And it goes on further down in the beginning of chapter 6. It talks about children are to honor and obey their parents. Again, kids that are saved, that are Spirit-filled, are going to be submissive and to their parents, and they're going to obey their parents without their parents always having to beat them all the time
or threaten them or whatever else it takes. We're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When we are, the result is that we're going to be talking in a different way, right? We're going to be singing in a different way. We're going to be giving thanks in a different way. We're going to be submitting in a different way if we're filled with the Spirit. And we're also going to be in service to the Lord. Hello. We're going to be doing things for God if we're Spirit-filled. We can't help but serve the Lord if we're Spirit-filled. When we have vacation Bible school, all Carrie would have to say is the word, and people would just pounce on her. Wouldn't it be great? Just pounce on you. Let me do this, let me do that. Instead of us having to beg people to serve, although they did fill up, they are serving. So we do have some Spirit-filled people here, don't we, Carrie? You know, the first deacons, we'll almost step on some toes here now, buddy. The first deacons of the church were required, listen, they were required to be Spirit-filled. Wow, they all opened their eyes on that one. Spirit-filled. I'm picking on you guys. You can beat me up later. Jeffy says, Listen to what Galatians 5, verse 22, as I'm closing here. Listen to what this says. This is what transpires out of the life of a Spirit-filled Christian. Listen to this. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It says, against such things is no law. That's what's going to be coming out of your life and my life as a result of being Spirit-filled. Remember, it's not an option, is it? If we're saved, if we're a Christian, if we say we're a Christ follower, then being filled with the Spirit is not an option. And it's not just for the Pentecostal folks, right? It's for the Baptist folks too, and the Presbyterian folks too, and the Methodist and any other Christian denomination that you want to name. If we're going to follow what the Word says, we need to be Spirit-filled. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for that command. If you haven't commanded us, Lord, we may not know that we need to do it. And I pray this morning as we've looked at your Word that you will put that in our spirits fresh today, how important it is to be filled with the Spirit. Now, Lord, I pray today there could be somebody here today that has never had the Spirit to start with. In other words, they're not saved. Father, I pray that while we're praying, that they're simply saying, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have failed you. I know that you went to the cross and you died for my sins. And I want to ask you, Lord, to be my Lord and Savior today. Would you come into my heart and change my life today? Would you fill me with your Spirit? And Lord, help us to be obedient to that right now during this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.